Hello, Radioland. This is WCOM LP Chapel Hill, 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carborough. Support for WCOM comes from the Cary Playwrights Forum. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, so it must be time for the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. If you enjoy this show or any show on 103.5, you can support us by contributing safe, tax-deductible donations to WCOM online at www.wcomfm.org. Tonight we'll be discussing The Great Celestial Cow. That's the latest production from the Burning Coal Theater Company. And here in the studio I have Seema Kukreja.
Hi, Christian. Hey. You got it almost right.
Yeah, almost right. I'm sorry. Could you please tell the listening audience how to pronounce your name?
Seema Kukreja.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And now tell us, what is The Great Celestial Cow?
Sure. So The Great Celestial Cow is a comic, moving, and a feminist drama. It's a play about Asian women in England who have moved to this cold, gray, defiant city where they're expected to be silent. But I'm not going to be silent today. I'm going to talk it all tonight as much as I can disclose about the play. So basically it examines an Indian woman's struggle who comes from a native town, from a remote town in India, her struggle for a sense of self-sufficiency through the eyes of Sita, and that's the role I'll be playing of our protagonist. And she's a mother of two who emigrates from India to a Leicester town in London. And while she embarks on this journey to join her husband, who has already migrated to London to make money and to, you know, get a livelihood for his wife and children. It begins as a journey into a new country, and that turns eventually into a struggle for her autonomy. And she's caught in a struggle between the cultural boundaries of her home country and the Western country, and the restrictions that are imposed on her by her own family. So it's all about that, and we open our shows on April 11th, and we have 12 shows going up to April 28th, and they'll all be staged in Burning Coal Theatre, Polk Street, Raleigh, and we expect people to come and support.
And you're not just acting in the show, you're also producing the show in a way, right?
No, I'm not producing. I was just helping Jerry to find Indian cast members for the play, because, you know, he had this play in his mind for over 20 years. And I was amazed with his persistence, you know, and I was blown away with his dedication towards, you know, the arts, that he didn't give up on his dream of producing this. So he will be technically the producer of the show and the artistic director of the show. I was just, you know, helping him, you know, spread a word about the play and, you know, find people from the Indian subcontinent descent.
And this Jerry you're speaking of, this is Jerry or Jerome Davis?
Jerome Davis, yeah. He goes by Jerry, yeah.
So this is something that we were talking earlier, and you said this was a play that he had in his back pocket he's been wanting to do for a while, right? And this was, you say, how long has he had it? Like for 20 years he's been wanting to do this?
He says he has wanted to produce the play for over 20 years, but never thought he'd be able to find the cast to do it. And recently he added a board member. Her name is Manisha Lasseter. And she happens to be an Indian and from the same community. And she convinced him that, yeah, Jerry, the actors are out there. And I think Jerry saw me in one of the shows, too. And that's how we got started to talk about this. And I guess that's how we started. And now we are there, you know. And I think it's a lot of research he has put in the play. The dramaturg has been hired as well. And all our fingers crossed.
And so this was the conversation. You think that he saw you in a production, so he reached out to you specifically and said, do you know any other...
So Manisha, the board member that I was referring to, she actually contacted me, I think, in the spring of 2018. and mentioned about this play and asked me if I would be interested in, you know, involving myself with this. And the moment I heard about the title, The Great Celestial Cow, I knew something to do with, you know, my home country. And I'm like, yeah, I want to know more about it. And I vaguely heard about this play back in my college days, but I never got to research more about this till I actually heard about this from her last year. And so she says, yeah, if you want to, you know, get yourself involved, get in touch with Jerry. So I kind of like asked Jerry, you know, if he could meet, and Jerry was more than welcoming. And he says, yeah, why not? I mean, if you can, you know, if you're willing to work towards the script, and there are no guarantees that the roles will be offered. You have to pass through the audition. And he was kind enough to share the script with me. And I remember reading the script on my plane when I was flying to my home country back in summer of 2018. So this play has been on my mind ever since. But it has been on Jerry's mind for 20 years. So I hope, you know, I meet his expectations.
So there's you involved, there's Jerry involved. Mm-hmm. Who else is involved with this particular production?
So Jerry Jerry will be definitely the producer and the artistic director of the play. And he has hired a director named Sonia Desai, and she's being flown in from California. And she right now, I think, is a PhD candidate at Cal Irvine in California. And she'll be on board I think next month when the rehearsals start. And the auditions were done on 26th January, and some of the Indian actors were selected then and there, and some had like conflicts. They didn't have, you know, enough time to give to the play, and, you know, Burning Coal Theater has an intense schedule of like 6 days rehearsals a week, and, you know, they want to, you know, make sure that, you know, people are having no conflicts, and if there are conflicts, we want to at least have it down to minimal conflicts. But then some could make it. So they had also conducted a workshop just last week, and then we posted like about Celestial Cow on all the FB pages and what WhatsApp groups and whatnot. And so some of them showed up, and, you know, I'm glad we have a team together. Some of other cast members' names are Snehal Bhagwat and Priya Singh, Anu Burkar, Deepak Dhar, and Darius Shafa. And I think two more actors will be soon put on board, and they're DBA.
Excellent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As you're reading this play, you were interested, and then you were drawn even more into it. Mm-hmm. What is this play? How does this play speak to you?
In many ways, it just appeals to me in many ways. I see a part of me in Sita, part of my mom in Sita, part of every woman, and not just woman for that matter. Every person, you know, who's dealing with the struggles of, you know, whosoever has faced prejudice or whosoever has to deal with, you know, conflicts within the family. And there's so many, you know, dynamics of the ethnicities, the race divide, and the religious and gender identity that, you know, those components, you know, that I think everybody, you know, will connect to. More so for me, since I read the script, you know, I the reason I say I saw part of me in it, because I myself am a foreign immigrant, and I'm from my home country, India. And when I came here like 16 years back, I knew nothing about America. I worked for a multinational back in India, which was a US based company. But then, seriously, I mean, it's a new place, it's new language, and it's just so much to, you know, take in, you know, to sink in. And and both my parents were immigrants. My mom was from Afghanistan originally, and my dad was from Pakistan. So, you know, I was brought up, you know, to their struggling stories. And it's quite humbling, you know, that they've put us in a place where we have like decent education and houses and, you know, all the material pleasures that, you know, that we could dream of. But it's a very humbling journey so far. I think it's very humbling, and it's very resilient. And it has, the play has that universal appeal to it. And and that's how I feel about it.
Do you know anything about the author, the playwright?
So the playwright's name is Sue Townsend, and I briefly heard about Sue Townsend back in my India street theater days, but I, honestly speaking, I did not know much about her till I actually came across this play, the Celestial Cow. So Sue Townsend, I did some research on, and she was born in Leicester Town, and this is where the play is, you know, set up. She left school at 15, was married at 18, and was a single parent caring for three young children by the age of 23. She wrote secretly for 20 years. Secretly. I still don't know. I'm still Googling her. I'm like, I still want to know when, what made her write secretly. I mean, I don't know if she doubted herself or if she wasn't sure that she can, you know, she can create such magic, you know, that we now, you know, the whole world is, you know, raving about. So she wrote for 20 years secretly before anybody saw her work. And I think she was best known for the creation of luckless and self-deluded Adrian Mole. I don't know if you're familiar with Adrian Mole. She's one of those characters on British television. But as, and Sue brought her to life, and this is one of her signature character. Adrian Mole is one of the most enduring and, I would say, cherished comic creations of the recent literary times, not just in Britain, but it has taken, you know, her to places. So, and one more very interesting thing was when I was, you know, researching Sue Townsend, she mentioned in one of her recent interviews that there is, not recent, not very recent, but it's not that old either. She said something like, there is great genre confusion with me. I write about comedy and deeply moving and serious things, but the people I respect me, and that's all I want. Isn't it fascinating? I mean, it's so humbling, you know, to be coming from such accomplished writer, I mean, who has done amazing works, you know. She is... she was a bestseller. She had a bestseller two times, you know, back in 80s, and, you know, and on both. And she's a well-known person on both British stage as well as a British screen. And you know, to be hearing those words were deeply moving. And, you know, it was, I think, all of the artists, you know, will kind of like relate to that.
Mm-hmm. So did she finished entire books in complete secret? It wasn't like she was working on one thing for 20 years. It was more
I think there were many writings and many books, and I think they progressed and evolved into her works later on when she became a known name.
Is The Great Celestial Cow, is that purely a play, or did it come from a book?
This is a pure play. It's, okay. it's a play that she wrote, I think, back in, this is set in... 60s and 70s in the Leicester city of Britain, and so I think I'm assuming it was written at that time, but I'm very certain about when it was first presented, and that was in 1984 in Leicester Haymarket studio, Haymarket studio in London. And I think this is Burning Coal Theater is making this taking the Celestial Cow to a US premiere, and we're really excited about it.
Oh, I didn't realize it was going to be a U.S. premiere. That is very exciting.
Yes, it's going to be premiering in the United States for the first time. Yeah.
That is exciting.
Very exciting.
So you're very early on in the production process. Mm-hmm. You just had auditions, you said, 2 weeks ago or so,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And you've just got the cast list. Mm-hmm. Did Jerry give any clues as to what we may expect when the production goes up? Has he left any details about what his vision is?
The production process, you know, the biggest issue for him has been, you know, where will we find the actors? And in the Indian community in RTP area is so large, and he was amazed when I told him the numbers. But here was, you know, a challenge for me also, for Manisha also, that, you know, where to find Indian actors, you know, I mean, I knew only, you know, myself, and I'm like, you know, I'm here. I mean, if as long as, you know, you can settle with like a one act play with, you know, me playing all the actors. No, but jokes apart, I mean, this was the biggest challenge that we were facing. But the question has become increasingly moot after casting. The main considerations will be who will direct it, who will design the sets, and, you know, he wants to be. He wants to do the things, you know, by the book. He wants to replicate everything, you know, from the native village, going from the native village days from India. And then this woman, you know, emigrates to London, and then he wants to show that transition happening in her character. So, you know, in order to do that, you know, to justice to her character, he wants people, you know, from certain areas, you know, who do certain costumes. And so we are still working, you know, this, it's all work in progress right now. We are talking to costume people, and, you know, he is, I think he has, as I said earlier in the interview, he has a dramaturg in place and the stage manager in place, the director in place. And we were, like, questioning, like, why Jerry? I mean, why didn't you direct it yourself? I mean, you had such vision about this play. He must have read the script, I don't know, 100 times. So I'm like, Jerry, why don't you yourself direct it? And I was floored by his response. He said, no, Seema, I mean, regardless of how much I, you know, how much I'm fascinated or moved by the play, I still want somebody from the same community, you know, to be able to, who knows, you know, who kind of like relates to the culture and who can kind of, you know, gels, you know, with the script. And so that will be the right person. So, and that's how Sonia and Desai came in the picture.
Mm-hmm. It sounds very exciting because Jerry's really trying to get as authentic as possible.
Yes.
With the costumes, the scenery.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
And so it's going to be closer to an experience as to being there in the moment, watching this progression.
Sure.
This, to use an old phrase, a fish out of water story, and going from what is Home Sweet Home to this brand new big city.
Absolutely.
That you've only heard about.
Yes.
With this completely different culture.
Yes.
Which you say you can definitely
see my pieces in.
Yeah, yes. You've been through that yourself,
yes.
And your
yes.
parents have been through that.
Yes.
And so what do you, is this is Sita's story. Mm-hmm. What other characters are in there? You say there's, well, go ahead. What other characters?
Sure. So I'm just trying to think, you know, I've given you the broader outline, you know, and the main characters on this play is, that story definitely revolves around this central character named Sita. And then, you know, she makes friends, you know, with other Asian women. And she also makes friends with the British women there, you know, who teach her the language, who you know, that is her first step to know about, you know, a new place. So that's how she evolves into, you know, being more British, you know, from more, from, and I wouldn't say like more British, but there's always an Indian in her. But she gets, you know, gets to understand the culture through making those friends. And so she has those friends. There are three or four friends. And then there is mother-in-law. This mother-in-law is a very interesting character in the play. And while as we speak, you know, we're still looking for an actor to fill that role. We still are looking for an actor, preferably from an Indian descent and or from Asian subcontinent. So the mother-in-law, in a way, is a very fascinating character because she brings about those restrictions, you know, that are imposed on Sita on a continual basis. And while there are pieces of struggle that Sita is, you know, confronted with. She's not only, you know, meeting her husband after a long time, but she's getting to know about the country. And then she's faced with this huge gap, you know, in between her culture and this new culture, and the language barrier is there that she has to cross, you know. And so there are oceans that she, you know, she needs to cover before, you know, she even starts making herself financially, you know, independent. So there are some, you know, orthodox restrictions that are placed on her, which we will find out when you come and see the play, that she continually fights. She doesn't fight. I think she's a very submissive character. But there are points in time, you know, that she evolves. She comes out very strong, you know, when it comes to protecting her own daughter. You know, she's in her mind, you know, according to me, in my personal opinion, I think Sita feels that, you know, she's lived still half of her life, but, you know, there is a life ahead for, you know, her children who have come, you know, who have emigrated to this foreign land, and she's trying to create a better life for them. And she's not going to settle down on those, you know, orthodox values, and she's not going to have anybody impose them on her daughter. So, you know, that's where, you know, her strong-willed character, you know, shows up later in the play. But, And then there is Fat Auntie. so there'll be comic pieces, that I think they will bring some humor to the show. There's a photographer. There is Daheba. Daheba is the another elderly lady that she's close to before coming to India. And while I'm talking about Daheba, I might as well mention the cow. The cow is something she's very, very close to. But when she moves to London, she knows that since she's forced to sell her cow, she keeps her milking bucket in the hope that she'll be able to buy another cow in Leicester, London. And when she comes to London, it's like nothing like she expected, it's because she's continually fighting the prejudice from the English and then the restrictions of tradition, as I said. But she clings to her dream, of this cow. So it's very symbolic throughout the play, that she keeps, seeing the cow in places and, how she fully realizes her own self and how she kind of finds her own identity. And then she realizes, she's complete in herself.
Yeah. As you're getting into your, as an artist, as mm-hmm. As an actress, mm-hmm. You have to figure out how to get yourself involved into other people's shoes. Mm-hmm. Is Sita, with a character like Sita, is that easier for you to get into character, or do you still have your process that you have to go into?
It's still sinking in. no matter how much you read about it or how many times you go on stage doing the same character, there are always some subtle nuances that you discover about yourself, about the character. Every time you go on stage, there's something that you kind of, for my personal journey, as an artist, I think every role I do, big or small, it's a process of discovering myself, and then learning more about this character, and then, making a real connection with this character. So I'm still in that phase right now. I'm not like fully into Sita, but my soul, I think, is ready. But I'm still, trying to absorb, more of it. Every day I read more about it. And this evening only, Jerry sent the whole cast a reminder of that we have to be off book in the very first rehearsal. So yeah, so I'll be definitely reading a lot more about Sita, and yeah, I'll be more into the character as we go by.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a very intense rehearsal process. Yes. When we were talking before we went on the air. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like not only do you have to be off book, but you have to be, it's 6 days a week for about a month, right?
Yes, yes. Primarily for the central characters, at least. He's willing to, work around with everybody's schedules, but then he needs to make sure that, we commit to it, and we commit to it fully. So, but the primary characters like me, mother-in-law, and then there is husband that I totally forgot about. His name is Raj, and I think he's been played by Deepak Dhar. But he'll be doing other roles in the ensemble as well. So, for these central characters, mother-in-law, Sita, Daheba, and, all these characters, more than Daheba, I think it will be Raj. And then the kids, Sita's kids. So these are some characters that we definitely need to be practicing technically on a six-day routine, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a large cast, though. It sounds like at least 10 people.
10 people, yes. And six female actors and 2 to 4 male actors.
Yeah, that is a pretty decent-sized cast.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
But it sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. And I can't wait to, start rehearsing for it. And me and Manisha were talking this afternoon, and we were kind of really excited. And that happens before every show. Like, you're nervous, you're on the edge, and you want to do the full justice, to the role that you're playing. And we want to make sure that, we match up to, what Jerry's vision and, expectations of the characters he had in mind. So,
yeah, and you say you never worked with Jerry before, right? This will be the first time.
So I've been, so it's very interesting. So I met Jerry back in 2017, was it? I was the educational, not in 2000, maybe 2016 or 2017, I was helping Women's Theatre Festival's education committee, and we were I was organizing the workshops and lectures for Women's Theatre Festival summer projects, summer classes. And I think that's how I, you know, got his contact information from Ashley Popio. And I contacted Jerry. And I don't know how I landed on his page about Utah Higgin classes that he conducts every year. And I got really excited. And I'm like, you know, I've always wanted to do these. I mean, do you still have slots open while I'm, like, you know, helping, chairing this educational committee for Women's Theatre Festival? I might just, you know, not be too late for the classes. And his schedule was full, but he was kind enough to invite me to audit, to sit in one of the classes. And I think I was really honored to do that. And so that was the first time I think I met I met him face to face. But Burning Coal, I was involved with for another class project for their in-house, like secondary projects that they do, in which I performed in a play called Catastrophe, that was directed by Avis Hatcher Pizzo. She's mainly the dance choreographer around, The Celestial Cow will be my first main stage production with Burning Coal, and I'm all excited about it. Yay!
Would you say, as an artist, it sounds like this play has a lot of drama and a lot of comedy. You mm-hmm. said a balance of both. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you may prefer comedy.
You know me. Yeah, I love comedies. But as much as I love comedies, I have that, you know... my heart beats for tragedies too, but not the Macbeth kinds. But this play, you know, particularly has all those, you know, fabrics of comic, and there's a movement going on, and there's dances. You know, he plans to incorporate some Indian dancing, and then the issues, you know, surrounding feminism and whatnot. So I think all those fabrics, you know, woven together in this big masterpiece, it'll be like I wouldn't say like a Bollywood masala, but then it'll have, like, you know, a lot of elements to offer to the audience, you know, but mainly comic and emotional family drama.
Who's choreographing the dances, do you know?
They're still working on they're still working on getting the technical team together.
It could be you, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not like a formal classically trained dancer. I learned some very basic Bharatanatyam back in my school days. And then I performed Bharatanatyam for Secret Garden for Justice Theater. And that was like, that just happened. I mean, I went for an audition for a singer's role in Secret Garden, and Deb Royal selected me for the singer and then the dancer. So I ended up doing the Bharatanatyam, and I'm like, it's been years. So, but the choreographer at that time was Pratima Chintala, and she did a great job of, you know, getting this nut on floor, doing those beautiful classical graceful movements with hand and eyes. So yeah, we're excited about getting this whole technical team together, and I can definitely put my inputs in, and if they don't find anybody else, but I would prefer it to come from a real professional who does it on a daily basis. So we'll see how it goes.
And wearing a lot of hats during a production, mm-hmm. You don't want to do that too much, otherwise
yes.
you lose your chance to be involved with the character and concentrate on that.
Absolutely.
Rather than concentrate on your character, but also choreograph everybody else.
Absolutely.
But also do this.
Right.
And also do this.
Right.
You want to be able to focus on one thing your art really come out.
Exactly.
And you can put all your focus and energy towards that.
I couldn't have said it better. Thank you so much for saying that, Christian.
And even though this is about Indian American, mm-hmm. or, well, it's more like Indian British, I guess, because mm-hmm. she's going to London,
in a
right?
British setting, yes.
But this is really for anybody.
Anybody. Yes. Everyone. I mean, Jerry would especially like to get the Indian community interested in it and involved with Burning Coal, because, you know, I'm hoping, you know, other theater companies in RTP and the Triangle and the surrounding areas, you know, will probably get inspired by it, and we'll see more Indian productions in the near future. I'll keep my fingers crossed, but it's not more. So let's not make it like, you know, limited to just one race, because, as I said, this a playwright has so much to offer, you know, in this, you know, two-act play. And we want everybody to come and, you know, and there's, as I said, you know, there's a component of something, you know, that a person, you know, will have it as a takeaway, you know, when they go out of the stage. And I hope a positive takeaway. And we hope to, you know, create a positive dialogue. I mean, honestly, you know, there are some scenes in the play that I can't talk much about now.
Yes.
But let's keep it a surprise. But so we want to, you know, without disclosing all the dynamics here, we, you know, there will be definitely, you know, people in the audiences who will not probably agree in full with certain, you know, certain elements in the play. And then there will be some people in the audience who will like kind of like, yes, I'd been there. My mother-in-law said that once to me. So, you know, so who knows? So we want to, you know, open a positive dialogue and, you know, and we want to make sure that people, you know, you're able to communicate it through the act.
Especially since it sounds like a lot of energy is being put into it with Jerry having this in the back of his mind.
Yes.
And he's had all these years to really think about it, really sink in and decide that this is exactly how he wants to do it.
Exactly.
I feel like it's going to come across very strongly with that effect, and it's going to be so authentic with everything else.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. All fingers crossed.
You know, we did a show earlier, and someone actually did give away, like, the spoiler.
Yeah, I was about to, yes.
And,
thank you.
I was nice enough to edit it out so that if someone were to listen to it later, the spoiler was left out.
Yes. So if there are spoiler alerts that I've given, feel free to edit it before Jerry hears it.
Yeah, so I would have gotten you. I would have.
Sure, thank you.
I would have taken it out, at least for the podcast. I don't have a delay on this. On this end, where I can delay the last 7 seconds.
Sure.
Unfortunately. But has there been a character, again, speaking to you as an artist, as an actress, is there a way, or is there a character, I'm sorry, that you have been that is the most unlike you, and you had to really find a way to get into character, and it was very difficult?
Oh, other than Celestial Cow, like in my overall career,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, and just any role.
Many. I mean, one recent one that I did with you, where you made me a queen in the strange city, and you know, and it is not like natural element of Seema Kukreja. I had to sound really mean and creepy in places, but I remember a play that I did back in my school days where. Not much notification was given to the actors since we were doing street theater, and it was more of like, you know, like impromptu kind of theater. And my director called me and he said, you know, I have a role for you. And this person was like, you know, looked upon in the theater industry so much. And I'd worked with, you know, with him in the previous productions. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't even ask about what he's going to be, you know, casting me as. I'm like, I'm coming. And he wanted me to play not only another gender, but also to—I mean, you know—but also to play a drunkard and a drug addict, and it was fun. I mean, it was fun. It was challenging. You know, it's something, you know, that pushed my boundaries, and I'm like, "Are you serious? I mean, why me?" And he's like, "Seema, you know, this person sings poetry, and you know, poetry is like, you know, my second life. You know, if I'm not doing theater, if I'm not doing my mom's duties, you know, I'm writing poetry, or I'm, you know, reciting poetry. And I love poetry. My dad was a poet. He used to write mostly in Urdu and Persian. And so probably, you know, so that's in my genes, and it's the genetics talking. And I'm like, okay, so you called me just for poetry. And it's like, not just for poetry. So you'll be drinking and you'll be smoking. I'm like, I'm allergic to smoke. So you'll have to find ways around it. So it was very challenging. But then early on, you know, I learned from him these two components. He used to often talk about freeing the mind and focusing the mind. And those two things have, you know, stayed with me ever since. And if I could do that role, I mean, people, and I thought it was a comic role, but it ended up, I ended up making people cry. Mm-hmm. Because you know, this person dealt with this addiction, you know, through his youth, the entire youth. And the reason we were doing this, you know, to create awareness about, you know, the downsides. So it was very well received, and I was happy to make people cry. I was happy to make myself cry and, you know, push my limits. And yeah, it was one of those experiences.
That's a great example of mm-hmm. how the audience can inform you as an artist mm-hmm. of what your character is about, because mm-hmm. you can present your character, but it's very informative to see how the audience
right.
reacts to that character
exactly.
being on stage.
Because
you can like your character, and then they say,
and then,
no,
what did you
like
just
you.
Do?
I don't like you. Or you can
right.
come across as, you can try to be honest, and you may like think this is a funny role, but it
right.
makes people cry.
Exactly.
Right, because they see their friends or they see themselves.
Absolutely.
In that character.
Absolutely, yes,
yeah.
yes.
So you've been involved with Vernon Cole. You've been involved with a lot of different
mm-hmm.
productions
yes.
in the area, too.
Yes, yes.
You've been, what other places have you worked at in the area?
Pretty much most of the prominent ones that we see. I've been with Sonorous Road recently, that the play that I did with you. Justice Theater, I've done a few plays with, and I love their plays. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, that was one of the beginning of my NC stage career through Justice Theater. And I mentioned this in all my interviews. I always run out of words, you know, and I have to express my gratitude to Justice Theater for, you know, bringing my dream to reality. I mean, if I didn't find Justice Theater, I mean, that's how, you know, it kind of opened the doors, you know, for me. And I'm like, okay, there are so many theater companies here. When I moved to NC, and I used to miss Atlanta days, and I'm like, I'm missing this Metro City kind of a feel. And my husband was, see, there are lakes here. And every time we talked about that, he would take me to one lake or the other till I discovered theater. So, yeah, Justice Theater. And I'm sorry, I keep going off track.
Oh, no, it's okay. I want to hear about what was the first experience you had with Justice Theater.
That was Secret Garden.
That was the Secret Garden.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And then and in the later years, I participated in plays, that their annual play production that's called Black Nativity. Black Nativity is done every December during the Christmas time. And so I did that with for, I think, 2 to 3 years. And then I moved on with the production, with the theater, independent community theater, not community, independent theater company called Majoa Performing Arts. And I worked with the Cary Playwrights Forum. That gave me the most memorable, I wouldn't say the most memorable, it's one of my favorite plays, you know, that happened to me, Chakra, where again, you know, I was playing the Indian Empress, so Cary Players I've done plays with, Love Bits and Bites season. I was so excited because I heard so much about Love Bits and Bites, and I'm gonna call them and ask them when they're doing the next season, because they used to do it every year around the Valentine's time, just about this time of the year. And
it's been a few years since
they did it. Yes. So I did Love Bits and Bites, and then I also was in The Women by Town of Cary, and that was also, I think, the collaboration with Town of Cary and Cary Players.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think it was a Town of Cary production.
Nancy
yes. was directed that.
Yes.
Yeah, or co-directed that, rather.
Yes.
And then
Lyman Collins. Yes.
Yes, that was the other co-director.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. I forgot his name. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about Cary Playwrights Forum, because they mm-hmm. they pay me to be here.
Sure.
Chakra, was that the first Chrysalis play that they did?
Yeah, Chrysalis I was a part of. That was the stage read that I was a part of, which was called the Donner. But this was, Chakra was way before than that. Chakra was in spring of 2016. March, yeah, you can technically say that. So that was 2016. And Chakra also just happened to me, and I'm so blessed. You know, I think mom, dad, and my in-laws up there sending me, you know, their blessings. You know, they keep sending, you know, such good work my way, and Chakra just also happened like that. I mean, I was not even planning to be, you know, in the production that very year, but at that particular time, because I was doing other things, you know, busy raising my daughter, and, you know, being a good wife, and then doing my two jobs. chakra just happened. I think I happened to read a flyer by Tom. And I'm like, Tom, I really am interested. Can I come and audition? And I called Lydia. And Lydia is like, yeah, we are auditioning tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm coming. I went to this audition all dagged up in a sari. And I'm, you know, I wanted to be in that character. And to my dismay, when I land at the audition, they've already left because they had a very bad weather that day. It was drizzling, cats and dogs, and they had to leave. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be missing my chance. And I call Tom, and I'm like, Tom, I'm right here, and I came on time. And Tom like, hey, hold on. And so they were very good to me, and Tom and Lydia, you know, arranged another audition for not just for me. They were, and I think I happened to find the Ashwathama, which was played by Glenn Greggs, and because he was also, you know, at the same time he was leaving the Carryout Center where the auditions were taking place, and I'm like, are you here for the auditions for the Chakra? And he was like, yeah, but nobody's there, so I'm leaving. I'm like, stay with me, you know, there are people coming back. And I still tease him like, you owe me a donut for giving you Ashwathama. And he was a perfect Ashwathama for this play. It was a surreal experience. Yeah, so I'll be eternally grateful, you know, to Carrie Playwrights Forum for giving that play my way. And yeah, I can talk like another 40 minutes just on Chakra, but I'm sure you'll have other things.
And then, well, shortly after that, you did mm-hmm. Chakra, and then you did, you said, the Chrysalis play. And
yes.
Chrysalis is a fairly new project mm-hmm. that Carrie Playwrights Forum has mm-hmm. been doing. They've been doing it for the past 2 years or mm-hmm. so. They select... they get a selection of full-length plays, one-act plays.
Yes.
But they choose a play by a local playwright to develop. They do a couple of stage readings, and then they fully produce it.
Yes.
And the idea is that they workshop it with the playwright. The playwright gets feedback, which
Absolutely.
Is what you need in order for a play to grow, for the playwright to grow. You need that feedback from audiences, from
yes.
your cast, from your fellow playwrights. The first year was the donor, and then the mm-hmm. I don't remember who wrote it. Do you remember who wrote it?
The donor was written by Marilyn Anselmi.
Okay.
I hope, Marilyn, forgive me if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. She's such a wonderful, wonderful human being, and I remember the best gift out of, you know, the donor was, you know, when I finished doing the stage read. And this was, I was not the part of the big play. I think I just did the piece, when we were doing the pieces of different plays together in one day. And I did a piece on the donor, and it was written by Marilyn. And the biggest prize for me was, you know, when I finished the stage read, and she came and hugged me so tight, and she said, "Oh my God!" And this was what was the character's name? Sarah. It's been a while, yeah. But she told me like, "Oh, you brought that character to life," and I was crying on stage, and we've been friends ever since, and I hope to work with Marilyn very soon, and I've been promising her, but she's so busy throughout the year. You know, she's been producing plays. In and outside of North Carolina, outside of RTP. So, yeah, it's a bit of drive for me. But then, yeah, anything for you, Marilyn.
It's really a surreal experience when you write a character and then you see someone perform it on stage.
Right.
And it's very weird. It takes on a life of its own.
Yes, yes.
A turn of phrase.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, and... I know Jerry couldn't be here tonight. He's a little under the weather, right?
Yes. Jerry had all plans and all intentions to be on the show, but I'm thankful to Jerry for not only just giving me the opportunity to be part of the Celestial Cow, but also entrusting me with this whole thing, interview today. And I hope I did justice to... you know, the inputs that were given to me by Jerry on some of the questions that we covered. And I think I did full justice to you, Jerry.
Yeah, I know you have a handful of notes that Jerry sent you.
Yes.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that Jerry wanted us to...
We pretty much covered everything.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, yes.
Is there anything else about this particular production that you want to talk about? I know it's very early on.
Yes,
I think I'll
leave it there. You know, I've given pretty much more than the outline already, and so it's to all those wives, you know, who still coming to this country, you know, on dependent visas, you know, to find their identity, you know, to find their new lives. And I think, you know, it's a play for them to see and not just, you know, to get any takeaway. There's no agenda here. We don't want, you know, people to do, if it happens for a positive reason, why not? But, you know, we want to do this, you know, so they feel that there is a part of, you know, them in all the characters that, you know, we plan to bring on stage.
Is there a project that's coming up that you're keeping an eye on? Like, once the Celestial Cow, mm-hmm. How long is that running? Is that running for 3 weeks, 2 weeks?
So we run from April 11th through April 28th. So okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, with Sunday being the matinee show. So, yeah, there'll be technically 3 weeks, yes.
Okay, so once that closes, do you have any projects that you're looking forward to?
There is one that it's too early to discuss. I've done a stage reading on that play, and they want to make it into a full production. There are two stage reads that I did last year, and both the directors, one is Honest Pint, or another David Henderson, the superb actor and director, and this play was called Risk, that was written by Ralph Hardy, that I did the stage read for in last fall. That's going to be full production soon, but I don't know when. So this is still work in progress. Ralph's making the, you know, editing as we speak, and I don't know when, where, but I'll be on my toes. I'll be on my toes for, you know, to look out for those. And Christina Bajan, I read for last year too, a Sri Lankan play about Sri Lankan civil war situation. And that was a full-length play that we did on a stage read basis. But she also wants to, you know, turn it into a full-length production. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. So with all those plans said and done, I'll be out in summer traveling to India. So hopefully after Celestial Cow, my travels, and then maybe hopefully something soon after that.
And for those actors who or actresses who may be listening, you seem to be very involved with a lot of staged readings. Is there a particular place that you go to be involved with staged readings?
Yvette Holder does Sips and Scripts that I'm very actively involved with, and the Sips and Scripts are done at iMerge every first Monday of the month. And then there are other local playwrights groups within my South Asian community that we, you know, meet from time to time. And if anybody's interested in, you know, getting to know more about the new plays, and there are some local playwrights that I'm working with right now that I want to, you know, bring to this CPF hour. Some funny scripts that we are working on. And these are all writers from all over the place, not just North Carolina. We want to, you know, make it not limited, you know, to the artist within North Carolina, but, you know, put into the vision from the writers all over. And so anybody is interested in doing more plays, or, you know, looking for a, you know, place to hook up with more playwrights, feel free to find me on Facebook, Seema Kukreja.
Yeah, if you have any players that are interested, what we're interested in doing on the Carrie Playwrights Forum Radio Hour, we like bringing scripts from local playwrights, some of them on stage, some of them not on stage before, and we try to add, we get voice actors. I have a long list of voice actors and voice actresses, and it seems like every month I get another person that says, hey, I'm interested in voice acting, because you don't get a lot of opportunities in the area,
yes.
At least one that's very frequent.
Certainly.
So, we have a long list of voice actors and actresses, different ranges of performers. I bring in sound effects, or I find sound effects online, so we try to incorporate those. And really, it's and I record these, I edit all these broadcasts, so it's really an opportunity as a playwright for you to hear your words being spoken, and then you have it as something to keep in your back pocket, so that you can keep working on your play, or you can use it to shop your play around.
Right.
If you think we did a good job with it. I like to think that we do a good job with it.
You do. And I'm so glad you brought this up, because, you know, I, my Dad often told me, like actors, dancers, and musicians, you know, we all generally are referred to as artists. But many of us do not, most of the times, we do not happen to be originating the work, but, you know, but performing. And, you know, rather we are interpreting the work of those originating artists. You know, and I think, you know, none of that would be, you know, complete, you know, without those playwrights. So we need more and more, you know, innovative playwrights in place. And yes, I mean, I'm kudos to you and CPF Hour, you know, for bringing, you know, this opportunity to the new playwrights and actors like us, you know, and to be able to lend voices to the plays. Why not? It's a great platform to be.
Right. So again, it's The Great Celestial Cow playing at Burning Coal. You said it opens April 11th.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Yeah, and it runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sundays?
Yes, up to April 28th.
All right. Are there matinees or are they all evening performances?
They're all evening performances from Thursday through Saturday, and matinee performances on Sundays.
All right. Excellent. Cool. Any other last words for The Great Celestial Cow?
Just keep us in your prayers. Come see the show. And just live the life of Sita and her children, and try to, you know, see, you know, a fascinating story brought to you, you know, from another side of the planet, and just evolve with us, and you know, and as we grow into the texture of the characters right now as I speak, please come and enjoy the show, and I'm hoping to see a good turnout. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Seema, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Christian. Thank you for inviting me over.
And it's a shame that Jerry couldn't be here. I'm sure he would have been more than happy to
talk about. Yes, he was really looking forward to doing this. Yeah. But, yeah, maybe we'll come another time closing, nearing the production time. Who knows? Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
This is the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. Good night and break a leg.